got so many memories, it's already on it, preacher. Okay. I was down years ago preaching down at Brother Ray Stewart's place, and God was there. He didn't know these wireless mic type deals, and so he asked Brother Wilshire, I said, Brother Bud, he said, where does he get that message? So he told the guy that what he does is turn that little mic on, that message comes out that mic. So so the guy thought, so he gonna turn it on and do it again. Yeah, so he thought, you turn this on, he'd go to preaching. All right, did I get it that time? All right. Well, I tell you what, I have a lot of memories. I remember Brother Jeremy, just a little fella, and I had tapes, I guess, back in that time with him preaching and singing, just a little fella. And I tell you, just so many memories. It's so wonderful to see you and your precious family, and it's good to be here tonight, and good to see Brother Wilshire, and it's just a blessing and an honor to be here, and thank you again. And I've been wrestling all day about what God wanted for the hour, but I want to be obedient to the Spirit of God and do what He said, and ain't nothing like doing and being where God wants you to be and doing what He says. And I told some of the young preachers around the church, preacher, I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, you go ahead and preach as long as you want to. I said, but whenever God turn it off, you better turn it off. Or you'll be by yourself. Amen. So, how many glad you're saved tonight? Say amen. And I want you to go ahead and be turning your Bibles in to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers 16. And you may have heard this joke before, but if you did, go ahead and laugh to make me feel good. But you heard about this man while you're turning. Had these two big old, I heard somebody else tell this, neighborhood eating rock rattlers. Had them big old heads on them, like had two of them on logging chains. And said when he would come down the street, some things, pull him off. He couldn't hardly hold him in the road. And so a man told him, I tell you what, I got something at home. I take care of both of them dogs. He said, yeah, bring it on. He said, go get it. Sure enough, next day, this rock rattler man, big old heads, eat up the whole neighborhood on logging chains. I mean, they're just throwing him all over the place. He's trying to hold them. And here come a man walking down the street with a solid white dog about that high with his tail chopped off on a little string. He said, you go sick down on this. He said, get it, boy. He ate the whole rock rattler. He said, what in the world? Go get him. He ate the other rock rattler. He stood up with two logging chains. He said, man, what in the world you done? What kind of dog got anyway? He said, it was an alligator. I cut his tail off and painted him white. But watch who you stick your dog on. Amen. Let's stand together out of respect of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to read you some scripture that's going to sound sort of, I don't get it. It's going to sound like you don't get it. But if you'll stay with me, you'll get it. I promise you that. Look at, we'll start reading at verse number 30 of number 16. The Bible said, but if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up, and with all that attaineth unto them, they go down quick into the pit. Then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as it made an end of speaking, and all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that attaineth unto Korah, and all their goods, and they and all that attaineth to them, went down alive into the pit. And the earth opened up upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel round about them fled at the city of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Now, I want you to notice, it's a strange text. But look at verse 32. This is my text. And the earth opened her mouth, swallowed them up, and their houses, all the men that are tainted in the core, and all their goods. Now I'm going to preach on us at that text on a strange subject. They used to ask Brother Rice years ago, said, what kind of preaching you do? He said, I do porcupine. They said, what kind? They said, well, people get the point. And I promise you, before I get done, you will get the point. But I want to preach on this subject tonight. Don't give up on the search. Don't give up on the search. Don't sound like much, but I promise you, you'll get something before you leave tonight. Lord, have mercy. I feel one coming on, and I ain't even got rolling yet. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you, praise you, and give you glory. You're such a wonderful God and a great Savior. I thank you for loving us, dying for us, shedding your blood for us. You're such a great God and a wonderful Savior. I realize every day I live that you don't have to have me, but I sure got to have you. I thank you what our hearts have already felt and our ears have already heard. I beg you to walk over this place tonight. Throw your weight around. I, Father, bind the demons of hell. And maybe somebody slipped in tonight, don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I pray to sit right down in the lap of the Holy Ghost. I beg you to bring him to Calvary tonight. But I pray most of all, help us to walk out of here different than the way we came in. Because it's not about me, Jesus. It's all about you. And we give you praise and glory and honor. For we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus and his precious blood. We claim the victory. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Lord, have mercy. Take it easy, boy. You got some work to do. Well, let me put it to you this way, just to start out. You know, really, the most thankful crowd in the world tonight ought to be those of us that are saved by the grace of God. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Psalm 100 put it this way. He said, when you come in unto the house, enter his gates and with thanksgiving and his courts of praise and be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. You said, preacher Steele, what have I got to be thankful for? What have you got to be thankful for? Lord, have mercy. You ought to thank God that you can brush your own teeth. You ought to thank God you can take your own bath. You ought to thank God you can drive your own car. You ought to thank God you can feed your own body. You ought to thank God that you're not going to hell. Am I right about it? Lord, have mercy. Come in. Hey, I better get this to you tonight. Lord, we got some work to do. But I tell you, God sure is good. Now, listen, in our text tonight, let me show you what's taking place. Korah and 250 men had come to stand against God's man. Look at chapter 16 and look at verse 1. Now, Korah and the sons of Issachar and the son of Kohath and the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, and the sons of Elam, and On, the sons of Pelah, the sons of Reuben, took them. And they rose up before Moses, and a certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face and he sprang in the Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him who have chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Look up your glass. Now the first thing happened was, Korah, I got 250 men, I'm famous in the congregation, and they stood against Moses and Aaron. Let me tell you something tonight, church. One of the worst things you could ever do as a member of this ministry is to stand against that man of God that's sitting right there. As you stand against God's man, God will stand against you. Don't you remember what he told Abraham in Genesis 12? I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. You stand against God's man, and God will stand against you. Listen to me. Let me tell you something tonight. I got another message I preach. This is not it. But let me tell you why it's so important. Let me give you just a commercial right here about your preacher. Let me tell you something about him. Let me tell everybody in this church something. Preacher, I'm sorry to tell you, but everybody that walks in these doors, you're not their pastor. Because whoever has your ear is your preacher. But whoever you listen to is your real preacher. That's why when they get upset and things don't go their way, that whoever their friends are, grab their stuff and leave with them. Why? Because whoever has your ear is your preacher. The only voice y'all listen to in this house outside of God's voice is that man sitting right there. That's the only voice. You say, preacher, you got the Bible on it? I sure do. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 14 through 16. Paul said, I speak not these things to warn you, but to shame you, but to warn you. Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, have you not many fathers? He said, but I have begotten you in the gospel. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul said, everybody up in your ear telling you what to do. Only voice you ought to listen to in this church is the voice of the man of God that God has given to you. Am I right about it, church? I'll tell you why. Don't get jealous of him. Don't get jealous of First Lady. I call all preachers' wives First Lady. Why? Because the job that this man of God and his wife has to do is more important than the President of the United States of America. Am I right about it, church? Come in now. Watch this. I see. Don't get jealous of him. But I'm going to show you something. Hey, the Bible said in Psalm 133, verse 1 through 3, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that was poured on the head of Aaron, ran down off his beard, down to the skirt. Whatever flows from the head, it'll flow down to the body. Whatever God pours on him, you'll get some too. Let me show it to you. Let me get some, watch this. Now, if you can see inside my body, I just drunk some of that water. If you can see inside my body, though it went in through my head, my big toe just got some too. Somebody help me. And whatever God pours on your preacher, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't try to do everything. Hey, you ought to spoil him and First Lady rotten. When I come in here, if he let me come back, I'd walk in and say, what in the world is that? I said, oh, that's just our preacher. We done spoiled him rotten. Yeah. Why? Because if you want to take this church down, I'll tell you how to do it. What falls from your head falls down to the body. You take your preacher down, when my head comes down, and what's coming down with it? The body. You want to take this church up, you take the head up, and the body is coming up too. I'm telling you, what I know, if you want to see this ministry go to another level, you take care of God's man. You make sure that God, him and First Lady, get them whatever they want. Don't think you're giving them too much. Don't think you're ever doing too much. But the servant is worth double honor anyway. He's God's man. You take care of God's man, and God will take care of you. Am I right about it? But they didn't do that. They stood against God's man. Well, God said, tomorrow, I'll show you who's a real man of God around here. And I text that next day, everybody, all of a sudden, they had an earthquake. And Korah and all that, look at it. In our text, the Bible said, verse 32, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. Their houses, all the men obtained in Korah and all their goods. And all that attained unto them went down alive into the pit. And the earth swallowed them, and they perished from among the congregation. God let them drop in the hell with their clothes on, with their boots on. Why? Because they stood against God's man. But I want to see something. Oh, now that's the rough part. But I got some good stuff I'm going to give you tonight. Let me tell you this. I think it was 2008. I may be wrong. But they had the worst earthquake they ever had in Haiti. 280,000 people lost their lives. When it was a 12.5 on the Richter scale. And people came from all over the world. They came with flashlights. And what they did, they was looking through rubble, trying to find people that had maybe were still alive. And they were pulling people out of the rubble, and people, when they was digging under and pulling people out. And listen, and there came a day that the governor of Haiti, he called off the search and said, there's no need of searching anymore. People were still being pulled out when he called off the search. Hey, take it easy, boy. A little bit more work to do before you get crazy up in here. But wait a minute. Hey, what I'm thankful for, I'm glad the governor of Haiti had made a call off the search. But I'm glad God didn't call off the search for somebody to come looking for me. Somebody up in here ought to thank God tonight that they didn't call off the search when God came looking for you. I'm glad, Gus Todd, I was underneath that rubble. Somebody came where I was. You ought to give God glory. Am I right about it? I want to show you something. Now I'm going to show you something that'll make you take your shoes off. You got them on. Make you put them back on, you got them off. Let me show you something. Turn your Bible over to Numbers, chapter number 26. Numbers 26. Now, we just saw Korah and all his family perish from among the congregation. But let me show you something. And I believe business. Hey, before you do that, go with me to Psalm 42 for just a moment. Hold your place in Numbers. Go with me to Psalm 42. Let me show you something. Look in Psalms chapter number 42. This is good stuff. Watch this. Psalm chapter 42. Are you there, class? Look at Psalm 40. Look at the top of the chapter, chapter 42. In that in caption, what does it say? It says the chief musician, Mishael, for the sons of Korah. Now, look at chapter number 44. What did that say? The chief musician. For who, class? The sons of Korah. Now, look at chapter number, look over at chapter number 45. It says, the chief musicians. And then it calls the name, and then it says, for the sons of who? Korah. Now, look at chapter 46. It said, the chief musician for the sons of Korah. Look at chapter 47, the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Look at chapter 48, a psalm for the sons of Korah. And notice chapter 49, a psalm, the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. I'm telling you, 42, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, and 49, every one of them said a psalm. Now, wait a minute. Preacher, I just saw that Korah and all of his children, his house, everything he had, fell alive into the pit of hell. I think that's what we just read. But I want you to see something amazing. Hold your place in Psalm for just a moment and go back with me to Numbers chapter number 26. Numbers 26. Let me show you something amazing here. Numbers chapter 26. And look with me at verse number 9. Psalm Numbers 26. And notice verse 9. Now, are you there? All right, here we go. Watch this now. The Bible said in verse 9, it gives us testimony of what happened to Korah and all of his family. The Bible said the sons of Elam and Noah and Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation, who strove together against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah. When they strove against the Lord, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When the company died, what time the fire divided 250, they became a sign. Look at verse 11, class. Notwithstanding, the children of Korah died not. Listen, those babies were in that house, and some kind of way, when the earthquake hit, somebody got through the rubble, and they dragged caused children out of the rubble. And the children survived. And those kids were so thankful to God that somebody didn't give up the search. That they got to singing about the Lord. They got to singing Psalm 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the fountain of his holiness. And they got to sing it, oh clap your hands. Oh clap your hands, all your people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. They couldn't get over. And somebody didn't give up the search when they should have died and dropped in hell with their family. But somebody didn't give up the search. They couldn't get over it. They got to sing it about how good God is. Anybody in here got any reason to give God some praise? Or somebody then call off the search for you? Say amen right there.
I'll tell you something. I'm glad, preacher, that they didn't call off the search. Let me tell you something, church, why you shouldn't call off. Let me give you three things why you shouldn't call off the search. And I'm done. Number one, the reason you shouldn't call off the church, because you don't know who you're going to pull out. You don't know who you're going to pull out. You shouldn't call off the search. You don't know who you're going to pull out. But you say, preacher, you don't understand. There's some wicked, ungodly people in this world. Well, listen, if you knew the person that you were sitting beside, you'd probably switch seats right now. If you knew where God bought them from, you ought to, hey, don't ever get your nose up in the air and forget about where God bought you from. That's whenever God found you. You weren't nothing but a mess yourself, and God made a miracle out of a mess. I said you weren't nothing but a mess yourself, and God made a miracle out of a mess. How many messes in here that God made a miracle out of? Say amen right there. He said, preacher, but they're so wicked, vile. Well, I got some Bible. Romans 5:20 said, moreover, the law entered that the offenses may abound. But where sin has abound, grace has much more abound. You don't have enough sin that God don't have enough grace. Come here for a minute, Matt. Come here for a minute. Watch this. And Matt, let's take one step. Whenever sin takes one step, grace I'll take two steps. Take two steps, sin. When sin takes two steps, grace, I'll take four steps. Why? Because God said, well, sin has a bound. I got more grace than you got sin. I don't care what kind of mess you are, how deep you've gone, what you've done, where you've been. I tell you, I don't know about you. Thank you, Matt. I'm not going to give up on going after people. Why? You don't know who you're going to pull out. I'm telling you right now, been in New Life for 33 years, I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Because God that I serve, he ain't dead. He's still alive. He's on the throne, and he still can take messes and make miracles. Am I right about it, church? I remember some years ago, preacher, I was at a little storefront, Brother Jeremy, out on 601. Had that linoleum floor, kerosene heat in the corner. I'll never forget, Brother Washaw. I preached on the subject, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. A lady walked down the aisle that Sunday with tears running down her face. And some of our ladies took a Bible, letter to Jesus Christ. She said, I want you to go by my house and see my boyfriend. Well, she worked at the job I worked at, so did her boyfriend. I didn't know was her boyfriend. He stood about 6'5", 6'6". Probably 270, big old man. And all of us used to have them ball caps, preacher. People had named Little Rabbit, Big Rabbit, and all that on their nickname. But he had P-Funk written on his helmet. So what's P-Funk? Some of you disco, that meant Parliament Funkadelic. It was a disco group. And so a guy was with me, handed him a gospel track. He said, I want to get one of these tracks. He said, ha, 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 I don't want to mess that Jesus junk. I thought to myself, I didn't tell him. I said, this guy is nuts. But I wouldn't dare told him he was nuts to his face. I said, this guy is nuts. And watch this. And so I said,
I'll be glad to see him. She gave me his address. Lived on Sharon Amity in Charlotte. I went down to that Monday, knocked on the door. You know who came to the door? P-Funk. It was her boyfriend. I said, well, I'm Preacher Steele. He said, I know you. I guess Valerie told you what happened to her. He said, yes, she told me she got saved. I said, well, he said, come on in. I went in the house, and boy, and P-Funk, he said over him. And I said, over here on this thing, a table in the middle. And I said, and the Spirit of God led me just to give him my testimony, how that I gave my life to Christ. And then when I got to the part, I said, a man took a Bible and showed me from the Word of God. And when I said, a man, to my amazement, preacher, P-Funk got up out of his seat. I don't know what he's going to do, but P-Funk fell on his knees beside the coffee table, looked at me and said, show me what he showed you. Yeah. Talking about a deer in headlights. I took that King James Bible, led P-Funk to Jesus Christ. He got born again, got back in church. I baptized him in Landis Baptist Baptistry because we didn't have one during that time. And that's been probably 28 years ago. And when you come to New Life right now, you'll see P-Funk stand there as one of the security guards, was a bus driver, driving on our buses, picking folks up. Why? Because you don't never know what you're going to pull out. That's why you can't give up on nobody. I'll tell you right now, the devil trying to get some of you in here to give up on your children, to give up on your grandbabies, to give up on your husband, give up on your wife. I'm trying to tell you tonight, let's God, you don't know who you're going to pull out. Am I right about it? I tell you, number two, the second thing you don't know is this. You don't know what they're going to become. That's why you don't want to give up. Preacher, I don't know much about your testimony, but I promise you this. You ain't always been no preacher with no tie and a Bible, a King James Bible in your lap. Yeah, there was some stuff went on even your mom and daddy don't know about. You don't have to tell me. Yeah, I'll tell you something. You don't know what they're going to become. Who would ever think when Danny walked up 37 years ago, bruh, with that King James Bible and led me to Jesus Christ, who would ever think that God would raise up a crazy man like me to be the pastor of New Life Baptist Church right there in Concord? I had no idea. Why? Because Danny, he was just one of those soul winners that wasn't going to give up on the search. He dug under the rubble, and the sweet Holy Ghost, he pulled me out of that rubble, and he didn't know what I was going to become. He didn't know God going to call me to preach. He didn't know God going to let me start a church. He didn't know that thousands upon thousands of souls don't be saved by the grace of God. That's why you can't give up the search. You don't know what they're going to become. You got to stay by the stuff. Am I right about it, church? You said, preacher, I know some of you, I got a nice cold Pepsi here. You like Pepsi? Anybody like to have this Pepsi? You like to have it? Okay. I'm going to give it to you. You ready? Hey, if you notice something, as long as it's sitting still, everybody will take it. But when I shake it up, everybody starts backing up. As long as the devil can get you to sit still, then God knows sometimes he didn't let the enemy shake us up. Because what the devil don't know, if I pop the top on this shrink, it'll go higher than it's ever been before. And when the God allows the enemy to shake you up, why? Because it's a testimony. Other folks are looking at you, God, what you're going through. But when God pops the top, he's going to take you higher than you ever been before. Because God is you. Am I right about it up in here? I know what Romans 8:28 said. Everything may not be good, but it works together for the good of them that love God, that those that are called according to his purpose. I want you to know that God sometimes will let trouble come your way. Why? Because God want to take you higher than ever been before. He's going to let people look at you and think you're going to be out. But he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell ain't going to prevail against the church. Am I right about it, church? I've been through some stuff, bro, in these 33 years. But I want to tell you something. Somebody said, what you doing? I'm doing the same thing I done when I got started. Every weekend, we was out not too long ago, and I was witness to the Spanish family. And my daughter-in-law is a Spanish teacher. I said, this teach me how to win people to Christ in Spanish. I said, it breaks my heart when I get to the door. And I didn't think about getting the kids, you know. So I'm sitting there saying to the family, Quiero, would you come to I knew Domingo was Sunday, but I couldn't think of what it was, how to say it, how to say church. Little boy about that high heard me struggle. He stepped up and said, Iglesia! Some of you don't know what it means. That means church. But I'll tell you, I was able to take that young man and see his mama get in the middle of the floor and call on Jesus. I said, could you interpret for me? He said, I led him to Jesus. He said, tell your mama what I told you. And he would tell her the scriptures. And then I asked her, I said, would you want Jesus? And she got in the middle of the floor and asked Jesus, come in her heart and save it. I told you last night, when I don't go skin winning. I go soul winning. Because I believe Jesus didn't die for somebody. I believe Jesus died for everybody. Am I right about it? You don't never know what God's going to pull out. And you don't never know what they're going to become. Don't call off the search. You ain't, hey, it ain't over. Good God Almighty, somebody help me up in here. Come on, I'll tell you why, and I'm done with this. Number three, because it ain't over until God said that it's over. It ain't over until God said that it's over. Yes. I'll tell you. I had a man, and I'll give you the scripture, but I had a man write down Ephesians 3:20. He's able to do exceeding abundantly all we can even ask to think. But one of our men, preacher, had a brother. He's run out of sound. Had a brother. I think I told you a little bit about him last night. But one of our ladies, I should tell you, we was on the job, was worked at McGuire. And we had a revival like y'all having here. And Sally had come to church and got born again. Husband named Thurman. And we got together having a revival. She said, would y'all pray that Thurman will come to church tonight? And God will work on his heart. We got eight of us got in the circle. We started believing God on the behalf of Thurman. Well, Thurman, you have to know him. I had went by his house before and tried to talk to him. And he told his wife, so I'm going to tell you, the only reason I didn't throw him out of here, because he's a friend of yours, said because he had a six-pack of beer getting cool and a bag of marijuana, so he messed up my high, got it up in my buzz, what he called. See, he got all up in my buzz. Well, we prayed for him. That night, Sally showed up late. Boy, preacher J.P. Barber preached the word of God that night. Down the aisle came Thurman. Got born again. Everybody shouting in the church except Sally. Well, on the way back, she's thinking about that six-pack and that bag of marijuana. He told us, I'm going to go to church with you one more time. And don't you ever ask me to come again. He said, because when I get home, I'm going to get my buzz on, get my high. And sure enough, she's all the way up 73 to 16. They live right on the other side of 16 to 73. He opened the door. First thing he just went in the refrigerator. Got that six-pack of beer. And Sally said, oh, no. He popped the top. Psh. And started pulling him down the sink. Took that bag of marijuana, went in the bathroom, and kapoosh out, flushed it down the commode. And boy, you talking about rejoicing up in that house. I'm telling you right now, you don't never know. Now he sat there every week for years. One of my deacons drive the van every Sunday morning. Been doing it for years. Why? You don't never know who you're going to pull out. You don't know what they're going to become. And I tell you, it ain't over. That God said that it's over. I say it ain't over. And God said that it's over. I said it ain't over. And God said that it's over. Am I right about it, church? I'll tell you something. God sent me tonight. I don't know. I had another message I wanted to preach, but I couldn't get it off my heart. He said, son, go tell my people. Don't give up on the search. I'm going to tell you something. I was flying for the Woodshire. I had been out to San Diego, California. I'd preach Lighthouse Baptist Church in San Diego. I preached out there. Well, about to forget his name. But I preached. They had a pastor's leadership conference. I preached out there. On my way back, I just turned 50 years old. And I told the Lord sitting on that plane, I said, Lord, I said, I'm 50 years old. I don't know how much time you're going to let me live on this planet. I said, but before I die, I want to see you in the last half of my life greater than I've ever seen you in all my life. And God began to tell me. And this is one of the things God told me. He said, the church is out of order. I said, what do you mean? And on Sunday morning, the message I told you I preached it. I said, you want me to preach that on Sunday morning? He said, boy, I'm a God of order. Think about this. If you went to a drink machine, preacher, and had an out of order on, would you put your money in it? He said, you want me to put my power and my glory in something out of order? You better go tell them, first of all, it starts with that man of God. And some of the stuff I shared with you about your preacher, he said, set the house in order. I went there and set the house in order. And I told him, Brother Woodshot, you can go right now and put an application. They can hire you at McDonald's. I'll tell you what you do. Go in there and when you first get in there and say, you know what? I think the fries ought to be over here. I think the fish sandwiches ought to be over here. And they'll say, you see that door right there? Goodbye. You don't go in trying to change the vision. You catch the vision that's already in place, and you flow with the vision. And God has given this man of God the vision for this house. And if you don't like his vision, don't call division. I said, everybody got a vision. You have division. Listen, I've been there on one of my 34th year. We got 58 ministries now at New Life. If you take and go to every ministry and ask them, what is the vision for this ministry? They said, we don't have one. You don't have a vision and you got a ministry? No. Well, how you do it? We're not here, they'll tell you, to push our vision. We're pushing the vision that God gave the pastor. And that's how you cut out all the division. If everybody got to have a vision, you're going to have division. And I'm telling you, if you take care of that man of God, and if you turn, God's already turned the light on the inside of your heart, that he gave Christ is the light of the world. He said, let your light so shine among men that you may glorify. They can see your good works and give glory to your Father which is up in heaven. And so you got the light of the inside. And let God take that light and use you. Folks, listen to me. There are people out here in this neighborhood already been pacing the floor with a gun stuck to their head. They feel like I don't have no reason to live. I don't have no reason. They've been through divorce. Their children have broke their heart. They're hooked on some kind of addiction. And they're looking at the world and they see no hope. They see no reason to live. But God raised up this church, this side of heaven, to keep the light of the glorious gospel of Christ and go underneath the rubble like God did you and start pulling them out. You don't know what you're going to pull out. You don't know what they're going to become. And don't give up on nobody. Because it ain't over. That God said that it's over. If you look at you, people gave up on you and kicked you to the curb. Preacher, can I tell you this? I promise you I'm done. I'm glad I serve a God that don't drive a trash truck. He drives a recycle. Whoa! He take all the stuff the people thrown away, kicked to the curb, and Jesus will stop by. The Holy Ghost. You know that arm will reach out. That thing will come. Whoa! And pull you in. He'll take you down to his shop and lay you on the table and screw out. Take first thing he'll pull out that old heart and put in a brand new one.
He'll start screwing off them fenders, them headlights, so you can see right, them hands so you can touch right, them feet so you can walk right. I tell you, when you walk out, I've seen beat up trash cars, tore all the pieces. People restore them and sell them for thousands of dollars. Why? Because one man's junk was another man's treasure. And I'm telling you, Jesus said, give me all the junk. I'll turn it into treasure. Oh, listen. Oh, somebody help me up in here. Good God. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what you're going to do, but I ain't calling to search y'all until he comes and calls me home. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I want to thank you tonight. God, you sent us to this planet and you saved us. And I ask you in the blood that you shed on Calvary, that God, to speak to hearts tonight. And I pray, Spirit of God, you raise up a ministry that'll take care of the men of God. And I pray, Spirit of God, their focus will be on going underneath the rubble. And somebody won't call the search out. Lord, I meet so many people that talk about what they used to do. I used to be this. I once did this. I used to be in the choir. I used to drive the van. I used to sing. I used to. I'm glad you're still the same yesterday and the day and forever. Help somebody get back in the fire. Get back in the fight. God, get back what it used to be. Because we got a God that's still the same. And I pray, God, to take that light of the gospel and go out and crawl underneath the rubble. Watch you pull sinners out. Watch you take those that nobody else wants and turn them into miracles. You don't know what they're going to become. We don't know. God, we see them in the choir now. We see them teaching classes, standing to preach the gospel. We see them missionaries on the mission field. We don't know what nobody's going to become. That's why it's not over until you say that it's over. How's you able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can even ask to think? So we give you glory tonight. Thank you that somebody didn't call the search off. And Korah's children, though his mom and dad dropped off in the hell, somebody went underneath the rubble and drug them out. And those children are singing, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful of a situation is hope, is our great King. And I, in Mount Zion, thank you, Jesus, that somebody didn't call off the search when it was my time to get in. And nobody knew what I would become, because it's not over until you say that it's over. Why, heads are bowed, eyes closed. How many can say in this room tonight, Preacher Steele, I may not know a lot of things, but one thing I know for sure, if I was to die tonight, I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand as a witness? God bless you. Put your hand down. How many say, don't embarrass me, Preacher Steele. Don't come where I'm at. Don't put your hands on me. But would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, when to die. But I sure don't want to go to hell. I promise you I won't touch you. Put my hands on you. Come where you are. Embarrass you no kind of way. I just want to pray for you. If you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die, would you raise your hand to pray for me? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Let's stand together all over the house. Look up this way, church. Everybody in here. And maybe somebody can come to the piano. And, well, Jeremy, I don't know, y'all can sing what you want to, but I know you know that good, that old one, that when you reach down his hand for me. I don't know if y'all can do that or not, but maybe y'all can get y'all to do a little bit of that, and I'll turn over to the man of God if that's fine with you, preacher. Because I was thinking that's what happened to us whenever somebody didn't call off the search. And I'm going to tell you something, church. All over this neighborhood and these communities, there's some people with broken hearts. Listen, I was out soul winning in Charlotte, and I'll tell you this real quick, and I'm going to find me a place, turn over to the man of God and pray. But I was in Charlotte preaching, and I knocked on the door, and the man said, what you want? I said, I'm out, Pastor Steve of New Life Baptist Church, letting people know that somebody loved them and cares something about them. I said, you didn't to church? He said, no, he's a rough man. He said, no, I don't go to no church. I said, sir, greater than church. I said, has anybody ever showed you from the Word of God how you could be 100% sure you're going to heaven? He said, no, I've never done. I said, would you let me show you? And he said, come on in here. And I went and showed him how to be saved. And when he got to praying and asking Christ in his heart, tears was running down his face. And he pulled out a .45. I thought, Lord, we're getting ready to go to heaven. Praise God.
And he said, you don't know what you done. You don't know, you don't know what you done. He said, man, that man out there been fighting all day long. I was going to blow his brains out. And I was going to blow my own brains out. He said, I ain't going to do none of that now. When you put that gun down, you know, don't do none of that. And he's crying. I've seen that happen more than one time. I've seen the owner of Mayflower come to the church in my office and said he told God, if I don't get something out of this, when I go see this preacher, I gave him a track. He said, if I don't get nothing out of this, he said, he told me after he got saved in my office, he said, I got a gun. I had a .45 laying on the seat of my Jeep out there. I told God, if I didn't get what I needed today, I was going to sit in the Jeep and blow my brains out. I'm telling you, that's how low people are. But I'm saying tonight, God sent me to tell you, church, don't give up the search. Keep the light on. You don't ever know who, what you're going to pull out, what they're going to become. I know it looks dim, but it ain't over till God said that it's over. Come